T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's not the right song, Jake. That's the right one. Good morning and welcome to the Morning Briefing for Tuesday, September 26th, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer. And on today's show, we're going to check in with Jake on his progress in his personal mission to stop smoking. We're also going to talk to Justin Brown of Hill Vets about the latest events taking place on Capitol Hill that affect us in the veteran community, including the Republican health care proposal and the defense authorization bill. Finally, we'll be joined by the CEO of Happy Joe. Army vet James Dahlman is in charge over at Happy Joe, and he's running an operation that recruits and deploys veterans and military spouses in the digital marketing industry, including t-shirt design and so much more. Looking forward to speaking to everybody on today's show, and it all starts off now with super producer Jake Hughes. Jake, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really good, Eric. How are you?
I am miserable. This was an awful morning. So I find out my wife is out of town on business. Find out last night she forgot to leave the car seat from her car, so I needed to get the car seat out of my car, which is a whole debacle. There's like straps and there's things that you need to pop out. Had to show the babysitter that's watching my son when he wakes up this morning, probably right about now he's waking up. Had to show her how to put it in the car, but still, she got there earlier than she had planned, and I was already awake, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave early. I'm going to get into work, have a nice relaxing go of it as I do all the preparation work for the show, give myself some extra time, get on to the road, and the GPS is telling me I'm not going to be here until 20 minutes after I normally get here.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, even though I left 15 minutes early. Apparently, there's a lot of dumb people out on the roads causing accidents. Like, seriously, when you see what people are doing on the road, when I was driving home yesterday, a guy in a black Charger was in, you know, we're based out of Washington, D.C., if you don't know. I live up closer to Baltimore. So I'm driving north, and he comes so close to my car, gunning his engine in fairly heavy traffic to cut in front of me and then cut over and then cut over, like zipping in and out of the lanes. It made me jump in my seat. He was so close to my window.
It's always muscle cars. It's either muscle cars or it's the street bikes.
Nope. I disagree. 100%. You know what? Two vehicles, particularly as a motorcycle rider and as one who used to ride his beautiful Harley Davidson Fatboy Low into Manhattan, New York City. There were two types of vehicles I was always afraid of. Number two on the list, pickup trucks.
Okay, hey, because I drive a pickup truck.
And that means you're probably an overly aggressive, foolish driver. It's just the way that it works.
I will try very hard not to take offense at that.
I don't care if you do. That's fine. The thing about pickup trucks is they drive like they're driving a Toyota Camry, like just trying to, again, zip in and out. Your center of gravity is so much higher and so far forward. Your rollover risk is so much better. They are aggressive drivers, but they're not the worst.
Who's the worst?
Minivans.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep. Yep.
Like soccer mom minivans?
I would tell my friends, if someone hits me and kills me on the drive when I was commuting from Long Island into Manhattan, I would put money, if they were going to make a pool, like a death pool for me on riding into work, that it would be a minivan, because I had to dodge minivans. Just either it's a weird mixture. Okay. Pickup trucks, generally overly aggressive. I don't know if it's the attitude of I'm in a pickup truck, I can do what I want. Yeah. It's basically Macho Man Randy Savage driving
every
pickup truck out there like, yes, now, man, yeah. So you could predict that. Minivans, they're your crazy aggressive people. There are people who are going slower than they should. There are people who don't signal and just jerk into a different lane, things like that. And wouldn't you know it, two of the accidents that I saw this morning that had caused the massive backups on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, two of the involved vehicles were minivans.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
I'm telling you, if you start paying attention to minivans, and now that I've said this, you will, they are the worst drivers on the road. And if you're a minivan driver out there, I'm sorry. You know, hopefully you're not part of the problem, but I'm telling you, it seems almost everyone I see.
I think the thing with pickup trucks, and I say this as a driver, first and foremost, I disagree, and I am a little bit offended by the stereotyping going on here, because I'm a very safe driver, thank you very much.
That stereotype comes from personal experience and accuracy over many years.
Number two, I think the issue with pickup trucks is that we're safer, in that we know that if we get into an accident, most likely we're going to be okay. It's the other little cars that are going to be the problem. So that leads to that sense of overconfidence.
That's what you think. But here's the thing. Your center of gravity is so much higher and so far forward, the chance of your vehicle flipping over is so much higher, which makes it so much more dangerous. I think if you're in a minivan, you might have that sense of security a little bit more. But again, the center of gravity is so much higher. I think SUVs should have the most sense of safety, and there are actually Volvo drivers, those things. It's like driving a shark.
Them SUVs around. Like tanks. I don't understand how people can drive those.
Yeah, there's some.
And I used to drive a tank.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, maybe some of those drivers, Jake, maybe some of those drivers out there causing the issues on the road are doing so because, you know, maybe they've got something else going on in their life. Maybe they're a little frustrated. Maybe they've recently quit smoking, and they're dealing with that issue.
Such an excellent segue. I'm impressed. Bravo.
I'm a professional. That's why they have me do this, I guess. I don't know. So Jake Hughes, for those of you who don't know, producer of this show, 13-year Army veteran, and smoker for how long?
16 years.
16 years that he's been smoking and decided it was time to kick that habit and stop being a butthead, as it said on the story on the website. I know you didn't like the title of that, but don't look at me. I'm not the one who created it.
No, that was our illustrious manager, but yeah. No naming names.
So Jake has now quit smoking, and the progress has been, I would say, mostly up. But though I did hear yesterday, we didn't talk about it yesterday, did hear yesterday you had a little bit of a down.
Yes, I did, but the down turned into an up, because I quit smoking. My last cigarette was, or official cigarette, we'll say, I know there's that difference there, was last Monday, or not yesterday, the previous Monday. But this past Saturday, I broke down after 5 days, and I bought a pack of cigarettes, and I smoked a cigarette. But literally a quarter of the way into it, I looked at it, and I said, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I don't enjoy it anymore. So I put it out, threw the pack away, and I'm back on. And actually, that next Sunday, it was about 6 p.m. when I was watching TV with my dog, and I realized, I forgot to put my patch on this morning. So, yeah, I'm on the patch for at least probably another week, and then I'll be off it. Because I think I'm at that point where I've kicked the physical habit of it, and the nicotine addiction is pretty much done for. So I say, despite that one little setback, I'm doing very good.
Yeah, things happen. I mean, as I said, I'm not doing it with the microscope of the website on me, but I've basically decided to also eliminate the smoking from my life. I've cut back a lot recently, where the complex I live in is a no smoking complex, so that certainly helps. You have to actually go out and across the street like some weirdo just standing out in the field over there.
Look at him and judge him.
Yeah, so you have that, and then you have when you're driving into work, which for me has always been a place where I did smoke. And this morning, I was considering it, man. I actually thought about it. I didn't have any pack. I didn't have a pack of cigarettes. I didn't have an individual cigarette. And as I went by a gas station on my way to the road, I thought, you know, maybe I'll pull in and get some. I mean, not the end of the world if I do that. I ended up saying, nope, not going to do it, and went down, just skipped over it. Had I known the traffic nightmare that was waiting ahead of me, I actually might have gone through with it. If I had that ability to jump back in time 20 minutes when I got to the parkway and saw what was going on there. But that's one of the things that can push people back towards smoking, is that stress in your life. Have you been trying to mitigate the stress factors that you have going on?
Yes, I have, and I've been taking it easy. I've been going a lot of long walks with my dog. That's another thing that's been very helpful, is that just sort of relaxing. Yeah, exactly. My new dog, Jackie, she's doing very, very well.
You almost forgot your dog's name. If your dog is listening right now, your dog is not going to be
I've only had her a week.
You were like, my dog, Trevor Jackie?
Yeah, Jackie. I only had her a week. Give me some time. We just got the bond. But she's a total spoiled child. Like, in the morning, I have to sit down and let her sit in my lap for like 10 minutes. Otherwise, she whines like a spoiled child. Yeah. So she's already in love with me. But yeah, I've been doing that. I've been playing video games as much because I tend to get stressed when I play video games. I get very into it, we'll say. But and then at work, well, work isn't that stressful for me, especially this job we have going on right now.
No, it's not that stressful because this is kind of fun. You come in here and you're dealing with the stuff that you enjoy dealing with. We talk to very interesting people here on the morning briefing, and then we work on the stories on the website and setting up the next day's show and all that good stuff. Really a lot of fun. So yeah, you've got that going for you. You've got your new dog trying to live the most stress-free life that you can, I imagine. And so going forward, I mean, you've also been following this on our social media. If you follow us on Facebook, we're at Connecting Vets. If you're not doing it, you're messing up, just go there and tap, click, whatever you got to do to like us on Facebook. Just do it. Yeah, there's no reason not to. It's going to improve your life for the better if you do.
Peer pressure.
You'll be able to see videos of Jake, one featuring me making a cameo in it.
Yes.
That really added to the proceedings as I normally do.
It made the video.
Yeah. So Jake has been following his progress with videos last week. Are those continuing this week?
They
as well?
Will eventually. Right now, we're trying to make them a little more special. Like, I'm trying to get a hold of, I'm talking to the VA to try to get a smoking cessation counselor to talk with me very briefly. And we're doing things like that. The videos will continue, but they'll be a little more special than they were just like vlog types like they were last week.
Yeah, last week you were doing every day of the first week because some people think that can often be the most difficult time for you. I think the most difficult time, and I don't know if you've done this yet or not, would be the night that you head out with some buddies and you go to like a bar or a restaurant or something like that. That tends to be a trap for me, I know, in previous times when I have when I've cut smoking off, and then I'll go out and we'll go to watch the fights or something, have a couple of drinks, and then you go like, just go outside and bum one off of somebody. Next thing you know, you're buying a pack, and it just kind of
tumbles
downhill.
That's the problem, is one turns into two, turns into four, eight, and then a whole pack. But I haven't faced that yet because I stayed in this weekend with my dog, but it is something I'm looking at as a bit of a challenge, but I think I'm up to it.
Yeah, and that's all you can do is be up for the challenge. And you can follow Jake's progress again by following us on at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You know all the social media. Again, if you're listening to this show, hopefully you're already following us through there. And then, of course, check it out at connectingvets.com. There's a lot of great stuff going on there. In fact, our own Mac, Amanda Macias, she is out at the Invictus Games, which are taking place out in Chicago. Prince Harry, he's out there. We've actually got some, like, it makes me feel like we're Us Weekly when I see stuff like this. There's a headline on our website that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, or is it Meghan Markle? I'm going to guess Meghan, make their first public appearance.
Ooh. Oh, I'm all a Twitter.
Who cares? That's what I have to say about that. But it's news because it's at the Invictus Games is where they did it. And if you don't know the Invictus Games, essentially it is a Wounded Warrior competition that takes place out there. A lot of great stuff going on at the Wounded Warrior Games. Prince Harry is one of the people behind that. So that's why he decided to make this where his relationship becomes public, where I like that move anyway, because it brings more attention to the Invictus Games, which I think he's making a smart move. He could have just, come public at some one of those weird British things that they do where they got fancy hats that we don't need to pay attention to because we beat them in a war.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, what weird British thing with hats?
Fancy hats and like marching around. And have you ever seen like when Parliament comes into session or when there's a new what's there? Not president,
prime minister
elected. All the pomp and circumstance. It's heavy on the pomp if you're talking about pompous. You know what I mean? But again, we don't need to worry about that stuff because we kicked their rear ends in a war. And, congratulations to us. So Prince Harry, of course, is a veteran himself. He served, I believe he was Royal Marines, I think, or maybe Royal Navy.
Was it he or his brother that was the helicopter pilot?
I think they both were.
Or one of them was a tanker. I remember that.
He was, I believe Harry was a helicopter pilot. I'm fairly certain. But anyway, he served in the British Royal Forces. Every member of the royal family does, for all the things that you can say about the royal family, where, you can wonder why exactly they're getting as much money as they are for doing what it is that they do. Each and every male in the family over there, they do serve in the military. When I was in Afghanistan, at one meeting that I went to at Camp Shaheen, which is a big Afghan National Army base that was pretty close to where I was based, and we go over there when they had stuff going on. And I don't remember. I think it was a change of command or something that was going on. No, it wasn't. Oh, I know what it was. It was a meeting for Operation Nayad Omid or something. It was a big operation in the north that they were kicking off that was going to be like throughout the summer. It was their plan for the summer, because those who've been to Afghanistan know in most parts of it in the wintertime, things die down. It gets cold, it gets snowy, and all of a sudden there's not as much fighting going on. Or it's not that there's none, but there's not as much. They bury their guns because the AK-47, boy, it's a reliable weapon if nothing else. Bury it in the mud, and then once it starts warming up, they dig it out, and then all the fighting kicks back off again. So Operation Nayad Omid, I think it was called, and they had a bunch of generals there. One of the people who was up was a colonel or one-star general from the British Army, and he actually knew Prince Harry. I was talking to him about Prince Harry as we ate lunch. He was at my table, and we just kind of mentioned it. I said, oh, you know, it's pretty cool that you have a member of the royal family over there, you know, fighting alongside you guys. He was like, oh, yeah, Harry's he's a pretty good guy. He knew him, and he was talking about him and how he was just kind of one of the guys down there sought out not receiving that special treatment. So you kind of have to respect that anyway. And he's always seemed to me like the only member of that family that I'd enjoy hanging out with.
Yeah, he seems very down to earth.
He does. He's gotten in trouble before for doing some silly things over the years. His brother, not so much. The brother is, you know, he's going to be the next in line to be king after his father, perhaps. We'll see how that goes. But Harry, I've always liked Harry. And then when it came to the Invictus Games, all right, then he's definitely my favorite member of the royal family for whatever that's worth, which in this case, it's worth a little bit more because he's doing so much for the veteran community worldwide, not just in England, which a lot of people do. You know, in the United States, a lot of the things that are to benefit veterans over here are only to benefit our veterans. We need to remember that in both Iraq and Afghanistan, we have many nations fighting alongside of us. Yep. Despite the narrative that some people put forward of what was just us unilaterally over there. I was like, unilaterally? Really? My region, we had, let's see, Finland, Sweden, Norway, so basically all of Scandinavia. Iceland, not anymore, but originally they had a medical unit there because they don't really have a military. We had the Hungarians. We had the, oh boy, who else was there? Well, the Germans basically ran the north. The Mongolians. Yeah, we had Mongolian guard gates at one particular base that was up really? In the very far northeast mountains. Yeah, and man, they were some intense dudes. We flew into there. What was that place called? Oh, man, now I'm losing. Faizabad, I think? Yeah, was it Faizabad? Yeah, it was Faizabad, way up in the northeast, up in the mountains. And you get there and you see, like, what flag is that on their shoulders? Oh, my goodness, that is the Mongolian flag. You'd talk to the Germans and be like, yeah, those guys are scary. We don't talk to them much.
You're scaring the Germans.
Yeah, they're tough dudes, the Mongolians. So, and those were just a few of the nations. I mean, we had the Bosnians there. We had the Croatians there. I mean, it was a multinational effort. So there are veterans from many countries who've been affected by the recent wars. And then, of course, wars in the past, and the Invictus Games is one of those efforts where it's not just about us, it's about everybody, and I like that.
Yeah, it's more, like you said, a multinational effort to reflect the most national effort in the war.
Yeah. I mean, I worked with more Germans than I did Americans during my time in Operation Enduring Freedom, and they paid a heavy toll over there just like we did. In fact, in my region, I would say they paid a heavier toll. It seemed that we had more stone ceremonies. That was our memorial ceremony that we would do at the headquarters for Regional Command North. Seemed that we had more when I was there for German soldiers than we did for Americans. Pretty close, but still, it just goes to show you it's not just one nation doing all of this.
Yeah,
there are a lot of people involved.
My only interaction with foreign troops was one ended up being pretty funny interaction with the British. I'm pretty sure it was British Special Forces. And then when I was on my way home from leave one time in Kuwait, I had lunch with a couple of either Scottish troops That was a linguistic adventure.
Yeah, that's a different type of English. As someone who, again, I've talked about it before. Yes, I was a curler. You know, the sport curling, it's big during the Olympics. One of the top sports on TV every Winter Olympics. And then people stop paying attention to it, although it keeps growing in between the Olympics each year. And it's a sport that was founded in Scotland. So I know a lot of Scottish people. I know what they're talking about, but I understand the people who don't. And if you get into the really like street Scottish speaking, that can be very, very difficult.
These dudes sounded like Renton and Sick Boy from Trainspotting.
Oh, then I totally understand what they were saying. It was one of my favorite movies growing up. So yeah, it's important to remember that. I mean, to know that right after I left, on a mission that I probably would have been on, because a lot of the meetings for the commander of the region, I would be there. I would be the guy who would go take photos, shoot video, do a story, that kind of thing. Shortly after I left, our German general, who was a 2-star general, became the highest ranking officer to be wounded in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
A suicide bomb went off at a meeting that I would say a 75% chance I would have been at that meeting. It also killed 3 members of his close protection team who are good friends of mine. So, I mean, yeah, it's a strong multinational effort over there to this day. Some of my German friends, I see pictures of them. They're still in the Bundeswehr. It's the German military, the German army specifically. They're back over there. They've redeployed. Some of them are back over several times over the last 6 years. So keep that in mind when you're wondering, hey, this Invictus Games, why does it feature everybody? Why is it not just about the American veteran? Well, you know what? We have teammates out there with us, and those teammates are just as important as we are, really, when it comes to that. We've seen some sad news coming out of Capitol Hill. We'll talk about this with Justin Brown of Hill Vets, who'll be up here in just a minute. Senator McCain saying on Sunday on 60 Minutes that his prognosis for the brain cancer he was diagnosed with is very poor. What does that mean exactly? We don't know the specifics, but it sounds like he doesn't have all that much longer with us. And of course, this is a man who went through hell and came back over in Vietnam, kept at the Hanoi Hilton, kept essentially in a bamboo cage and tortured while he was there, and then put in a cell and tortured there, came back and, still served in the Navy after that, and then served as a public official, of course, as a senator for Arizona for many years now. Whether you agree with him politically or not, mm-hmm. whether you're a conservative who disagrees with some of his recent actions regarding the president and his healthcare efforts, this is one of the most important veterans of the last 50 years, easily.
Exactly. This man has done so much. And like you said, regardless of your politics, you have to admire his dedication and his what he has given for this country. He has done so much, not from just the military, but in public service as an office, which is not an easy job because you have a lot of people you have to please. And like Lincoln said, you can please some of the people all the time or all the people some of the time. I think that's the quote. I'm not exactly sure.
I don't know. I just saw Justin Brown dancing by the window, and that's all that threw me off.
Hi.
But it is true. You can please, some people sometimes can't really please everybody every time. John McCain is a man who, for whatever faults he has, and I certainly don't think he's perfect. I mean, good God, if there's any politician on Capitol Hill that's perfect, I'll be shocked. So he's someone, though, that I can say that I've usually trusted that he's acting based on what he believes is right, based on what he believes is right for his constituency and all of that. And again, longtime Navy officer, also a guy who, and this is important to remember, when he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, his father, also named John McCain, was an admiral in the United States Navy. And because of that, the North Vietnamese actually offered to release him, to give him special dispensation because he was the son of an important naval officer who was being kept as a POW. It would be kind of a public relations coup for the North Koreans, I think they saw it as. The Vietnamese. Gee, I've got North Korea on the brain. North Vietnamese to release him. And John McCain said, no, I'm not going. That's not happening. So that's someone who, at least has that kind of intestinal fortitude, which I don't know if I'd have that when facing torture.
I can't say that I would be that strong.
He's a man who to this day can only lift his arm up to a certain height because of what was done to him in that prisoner of war prison, the Hanoi Hilton, as well as the other places he was kept. So this is a legitimate hero. This is a legitimate American hero. Again, agree or disagree with all of his politics, his veteran status is absolutely not in doubt. Anybody who does question that, well, you're questioning the wrong thing. And that is certainly something that we're sad to report, that Senator McCain saying it's not a good prognosis. Brain cancer usually isn't, but particularly at his age, it's not looking good. So our thoughts go out to him. Hopefully he's with us as long as he possibly can be. And hopefully you are with us as long as you can be this morning. You're listening to The Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Justin Brown, Navy veteran, founder and CEO of Hillvets, is going to be live in studio to talk about, well, more on Senator McCain and so much else that's taking place on Capitol Hill. Stick around.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley Davidson.
Welcome back to The Morning Briefing, Tuesday, September 26, 2017 edition. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and ConnectingVets.com, it's your website. And we mean that. Created by veterans for veterans, ConnectingVets.com focuses entirely on the veteran experience and providing the latest news, information, benefits, and, yeah, even entertainment to you, the veteran community, because we are also the veteran community. I served in the Navy for 13 years. Jake served in the Army for 13 years. Phil was in the Navy. Jared was in the Air Force. Jonathan was in the Navy. Matt was in the Army. We could keep going on and on, but we're going to stop there because we've only got another 25 minutes left in the show. If you're not able to check out ConnectingVets.com every 20 minutes like you should, then what you need to be doing is following us on social media. We are at ConnectingVets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Go there and you will be kept up to date on the latest and greatest coming out of the website, including our coverage of the Invictus Games, where our own Amanda Mac Macias is out there covering that wonderful event with Prince Harry and the rest. Great stuff. The story on the first ever female Marine infantry officer. We got that. A unique interview with AMVET's new national commander. You betcha. How about the vet who rose from the assembly line to the boardroom at Grunt Style? Yeah, all of that and more available at Connecting Vets and by following us on social media at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Oh, and don't forget Harley Davidson's mission thank you. That's where they're giving out 8 free Harley Davidsons, brand new Harley Davidsons, to deserving veterans and active duty military. As we heard from Adam Sandoval just yesterday, 5 of those bikes have been given away, 3 yet to be given away. You can go to our website through there, click on sponsors, mission thank you. You'll be able to nominate people for one of those bikes, including yourself, if that's how you want to go about it. Speaking of veterans, James Dahlman is an Army veteran, but he's been in the marketing and design industry for 28 years. He's got work for NASCAR, Disney, HTC, Nike Golf, BMW, NHL, Arnold Palmer, Best Western, and Honda, among others on his resume. And now he is the CEO of Happy Joe, and he joins us right now to talk about his career progression and what he's up to now. He is James Dahlman. James, welcome to The Morning Briefing. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Eric. Thanks so much. I appreciate what you're doing. It's an honor to be here and really love what Connecting Vets is doing to tell the veteran story. So thank you guys so much. I have one question for you. Do I need to call you the gracious ruler of everything? I think that's what you were talking about on the show earlier.
Yeah, when we were talking to Justin. Listen, Justin Brown from Hillvets covers Capitol Hill, and as he admitted to us, he's on every Tuesday, and he told us, listen, it's difficult. The whole process, the legislative process is difficult. If they just put me in charge of everything, James, things would get so much easier for everyone, and I think things would improve. Now, there would only be one professional baseball team, the New York Mets, and they would win every year. But other than that, I think people would be generally happy with my decrees. James, first question for you. You served in the United States Army. Let's talk a little bit about that. Tell us when you served, what you did, and, you know, when you joined and where you joined out of.
Well, you know, Eric, I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you. So we got to be careful what I reveal on the station right now. I'll kid aside. You know, I was one of those kids that I wanted to be Rambo growing up. So I knew that I wanted to be in the Army. And despite my dad begging me to not go in the Army, he served 13 years. He told me to go into the Air Force or the Navy, but apparently I wasn't smart enough with my ASVAB. So, you know, it fit that I would be an 11 Bravo infantryman. And so I enlisted in the Oklahoma National Guard at the time. I decided I wanted to, I was getting one of those, being one of those older guys in the military when I enlisted in, geez, it was 1996. I was 26 years old, had a couple kids and a wife and so, and decided, you know, I'm going to start off with serving my state and country that way, and then, you know, wanted to enlist later on. And through that journey, I ended up switching over to the United States Army Reserve, which was a fantastic journey. But, you know, I tell people all the time, they're like, well, have you ever killed anyone? Have you ever been to combat? Have you ever been doing high speed? I'm like, no. So I don't have like this, you know, illustrious career to talk about. I did tell everyone that I did participate in Operation Charlie Foxtrot in 1996. I was a casualty of a fire and attack on Sand Hill in Fort Benning, Georgia. That's when, you know, I was training and setting up it was a beautifully constructed ambush on a platoon. But I happened to lay down in an anthill. You know, those fire anthills out there are atrocious. And as I'm about to ready to light up the other platoon, the ants lit me up. And I started screaming. Everyone thought I was being gassed or something like that. And I jumped up. My arm was covered in ants. And I got stung so many times. My hand was swollen for months. And I was scarred for about a year. So, you know, I don't think about Purple Hearts for that or, you know, any kind of benefits. But, you know, it was great. You know, I loved being in the military. I always wanted to serve. It's kind of funny that I enlisted in the military because I have a problem with authority. And so that set me up for some disaster, but it was an honor. I got to serve with some amazing men and women. I got to learn some amazing skills. And, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I would do it. In fact, you know, I tell people my biggest regret through everything in the military is I never did get deployed. I never did get sent anywhere. And today, you know, that haunts me. And I have people who have, you know, been, I know that you were on, did a tour, I think, in OIF or something like that, or OEF.
OEF.
Okay. So, you know, guys like you, they're like, why the hell would you want to go be deployed? And to me, it was about serving my country. That's what I signed up to do. I wanted to give back. I wanted to do something more meaningful. And, you know, I'm very thankful for my freedom and all the veterans who have served before me and since. And just a little side story, one of the reasons why I'm so patriotic and so thankful is my grandfather was, and grandmother and their family were in occupied Holland when the Nazis came in 1939. And my grandfather was in the Dutch Army when the Nazis came in. He had to go to underground. And he was awarded one of the highest awards ever for military service in the Netherlands. He actually evacuated Queen Wilhelmina when the Nazis came in and helped her escape. But throughout the years working in the Dutch underground, he rescued paratroopers, spies. They hid Jewish people, things like that. And I'll never forget the story. And just the anniversary, the 72nd anniversary just happened, 73rd anniversary just happened, but Operation Market Garden on September 17, 1944, the men of the 101st Airborne Division dropped into the town that my grandparents and my mom were living in. And they talked about that day, seeing the paratroopers, how it was like no sight ever seen. And they talked about how grateful they were. And to this day, we just, for the first time, went over to the Netherlands this past May. Man, those Dutch people, they love the American military. They are so thankful for their freedom. And because of that, because of what the men of the 101st did, I'm here today. I don't think I would be alive today if it weren't for them. And so I wanted to serve and do something greater than myself. And, you know, I know it's long-winded, but, you know, it's just an honor to be a part of the military and be around guys like yourself who've done things. But, you know, my greatest, I didn't get to do more.
Well, you got to do plenty, it sounds like. I mean, and everyone who serves honorably, in my opinion, has a whole heck of a lot to be proud of. Of course, for everybody, that service does eventually come to an end. Now, James, you said you enlisted despite a problem with authority. You're currently the CEO of Happy Joe, so you get to be the authority, but typically there's a road you need to travel to get from, you know, point A to point B in that. So what was that transition like for you after you you finally finished up with the Army Reserves?
Right, great. That's a great question. You know, for me, it was figuring out what I want to do with my life. I found out, you know, I learned some great things in the military, but I wanted not to be the boss in the egotistical sense, but I always would see a way of doing things better. And for those who served in the Army, you know, sometimes you wonder, why the heck are we still doing it this way? And for me, it was about how do I improve myself? How do I create a future for myself and my family and other people? I never expected in a million years to be an entrepreneur or leading a company. I started my first business when I was 16 years old. I used to customize Chuck Taylor tennis shoes with a Sharpie pen and airbrush jeans. I did some wild and crazy stuff. And people said, that's cool. You know, can we pay you cash and you decorate our stuff? I'm like, yeah, sure. So, you know, fast forward, getting out of the military, I'm like, yeah, I knew, you know, I had some jobs, you know, was worked serving part-time in the military and said, you know, I want to do something different. And just decided, you know, why not go for it? Why not go out and start a business and help other people? Which, you know, through the years that I did transition like the typical full-time soldier, but yet also trying to get out of that military mindset has been a challenge just in my time serving in the Reserve and the National Guard. You know, your whole way of life, the whole way that you think is different from the quote-unquote civilian world. It's, you're trained, you're ingrained, you're indoctrinated in certain things. And to this day, I'm still, you know, hardcore military. I say things to my wife and she goes, what does that mean? Oh, yeah, it's, you know, back from the military days. But what I decided was, you know, take those leadership abilities I learned to create a company that would help people. And over the last couple of years, as we start talking about Happy Joe, was how can I do that to help veterans and the military spouses? So it's kind of been a weird journey. You know, I never expected to be walking down this pathway, and here I am.
When you find yourself on that pathway, a lot of veterans, when they get out, find, you know, difficulty in adapting. Of course, you were a little bit different because you had a foot in the civilian world and a foot in the military world serving in the reserves. But what things did you find that made that transition from having to do your duty in the reserves to not having to do that anymore? What things helped you in that process as you transitioned out?
I think the best thing is spending time around people who aren't military. You know, as we talk about how we've tried to help transitioning service members, everyone is just so, you know, because that's what you know is the military. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I preach, you know, veterans should take care of veterans. Military people should have each other's back. We should cover each other's sticks. And I believe that 100%. I believe red, white, blue. We should help each other out. But at the same time, we also have to let our guard down. And I know that a lot of people who have served in the different services tend to be guarded when it comes to the civilian community. They know the military speak, they know their military friends, and it gets hard for them to think about getting outside that circle. And the thing that helped me, and that I found that helps other veterans who have transitioned, is getting into that ring as soon as possible. So, you know, if you're getting ready to get out or you've just recently left the service, start getting integrated with the civilian community. I think one of the greatest things that we need to do as veterans, the military community, and as the civilians is to bridge that gap. And I haven't seen a whole lot of efforts to do that in a way that's truly meaningful. I mean, I know we have these different initiatives, we have these nonprofits, but there's still this divide. And sadly, you know, if I could talk about this a second, is I've actually seen veterans recently on Facebook starting these entrepreneur groups and stuff in the military community. And there's one gentleman, I became a part of this group, and I'm like, hey, I'm excited. This guy's doing something awesome. And then the next day, he's talking about how civilians are sheep. You know, the veterans are the wolves of the world, and we are strong, and they are weak. And, you know, creating this all this language that honestly scared me. It was almost like a dictatorship, or, you know, kind of like Hitler saying the same things. And he didn't see it that way, but I'm like, you know, we shouldn't be saying that we're better than civilians. We're, you know, and particularly, you know, for those of us who have taken off the uniform that are no longer in service, we are civilians. We're no longer military. And it's sad because I've seen these groups popping up who are going around with this chip on their shoulder, with this egotism of saying, you know, we served, you didn't, we're better. And I don't think that's great for the military community. I don't think that's great for the civilian community. And I think we need to stop that right now if we're going to help anyone that's in the military service prior or post-military later on in life to be able to transition and find their meaning and their purpose and, you know, career opportunities after service. It's crazy.
We're speaking with James Dahlman. James is currently the CEO of Happy Joe. Now, Happy Joe, let's talk about that. James, sorry, I was about to call you Dames. I don't know if that's a real word, real name, but it would be an interesting one.
I haven't called Joe or worse. You know,
James Dahlman, CEO of Happy Joe. Now, Happy Joe is an organization that recruits and deploys veterans and military spouses in the digital marketing industry. If people look up your site, that's what they'll find. And they may ask, what exactly does that mean? Now, as far as I know, it means graphic design and beyond, but let's get it straight from the horse's mouth. James, what exactly is Happy Joe and where did the idea come from?
Absolutely. So, you know, the idea came from Happy Joe was a freelance marketplace for elite contractors, freelancers. You know, we're a freelancing marketplace. And what we're doing is we are, the best way to maybe describe it is we're a talent management company for military veterans and military spouses. We go out and find people who are graphic designers, web developers, app developers, content writers, anything in the creative world, the digital media world right now. Our hope is to expand outside of that industry and circle later in 2018, but right now that's the area I know very well. Been in the industry for way too long sometimes, and what we do is we're trying to get the work. You know, we originally started Happy Joe as a nonprofit in 2014, and I had helped launch a multi-million dollar company that did WordPress training, and we showed people basically how to set up WordPress websites, how to become a web designer, how to make money. And as I was watching all this stuff going on in the news about my brothers and sisters, you know, not being able to transition out, not being able to get a job, not being able to find careers, the veteran suicides, I was like, I can't sit here and continue to watch this. I can do something about this. So I said, why can't I take that same idea and flip it for veterans and spouses? So we started training people how to be web designers, web developers, how to make money. And what we started finding out is, we had something that everyone wanted. Now there's a bunch of code school out there teaching people how to be developers. During that time, we found out, you know, we didn't have the bandwidth or the money as a nonprofit to actually start a school and teach people. So we kind of switched our mission a little bit. We pivoted and we became a marketplace. We started talking to all these different businesses who wanted to hire veterans or spouses who needed great work, the kind of services we could offer. We had a whole bunch of military veterans and spouses who had the skills to do the work, but they couldn't find the work. We said, why don't we become the broker of this? And so that's what we're doing today. We go out there, we connect with businesses, veteran-owned businesses, military organizations, people in the civilian world, it doesn't matter. And we go out there and get great projects. We connect that with a veteran and make sure that the veterans and spouses have work. We give them something that's meaningful. We help them. We mentor them along the way as well, because so many people have the skills, but they don't have the training to run a business. So we give business training, mentoring, coaching so that they can grow and thrive on their own, or they can continue to get work through Happy Joe and hopefully make a great living out of that.
And Happy Joe is a company that's doing very well and doing great things for veterans and military spouses. Now, you know, we've talked about that there are a lot of similarities, but also some differences between the veteran and active duty community. Between the reservist and active duty communities, where the reservists do all the same things that the active duty do, but have that benefit of having, as I said, one foot in the civilian world. Did you see that as a benefit when you were getting into business? And does that kind of push you even harder to help out those who didn't have that that other life while they were serving, who just go through a complete transition from 24/7 military to not being in the military at all?
I think having your foot in both camps is both a blessing and a curse. So often, you know, the joke is, you know, the National Guard was nasty girls. We don't do anything. And I mean, we did the same thing as all the other infantry.
Right.
The challenge is, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is, and I can't quote the exact statistics, but I want to say like 80% of our military is reservists and National Guards.
Mm.
So, you know, you think about that, you know, most of our military isn't full-time active duty personnel. The thing about with active duty is they know what is coming. They have a job. They're going to be stationed. You know, when you get orders and you get shipped off somewhere else, maybe that you don't want to go, like, you know, South Korea or something like that. You know, for those poor people suffering in Hawaii, I feel bad for them. But you know, the thing is, they have something that they can look forward to. The reservists, the National Guardsmen, you don't know if you're ever going to be activated or deployed. So sometimes it's a challenge, I think, you know, particularly as more and more of the reserve and guard components have been activated over the last 10, 15 years. you know, even though the government says, oh, you're supposed to be able to get your job when you get back and all that, that doesn't always happen. So it's unique in that they can't always prepare for what's ahead. I think if you're in that camp because you are already accustomed to the civilian world and the military, it's a win because you can use that to transition when you get out, but you can also use that ability to help people who are active duty veterans or service members right now. So it's kind of a unique situation. I feel like there's a lot of great things about it, but also some cons.
As a veteran yourself, and we're speaking with James Dahlman, CEO of Happy Joe, how difficult have you found it running a business, and what advice would you give to those vets out there who have that entrepreneurial spirit or who are climbing the corporate ladder and hoping to get to that spot where they're the man in charge or the woman in charge of the company? What advice would you give them, and what roadblocks would you tell them to be wary of?
I would tell them, if you've made it successfully through boot camp, you can launch a business. You can do what you achieved. You know, I've worked with a lot of veteran service members, spouses over the last 4 years. And, you know, there's this belief that they can't do it. We're not equipped. Man, if the government trusted you with $1 million equipment, you know, to go to war or to serve peacetime operations, if you can throw a hand grenade or shoot a machine gun, man, you can launch a business. I think, you know, the military community needs to understand that you have all these skills the military has given you, whether it's on a part-time basis or a full-time basis. You've learned leadership. You've learned how to depend on yourself. You've learned how to overcome and adapt, improvise. There are all these skills that make you perfect to be an entrepreneur. And it's hell sometimes being an entrepreneur. I mean, there's days where I'm pulling my hair out. I'm like, I'd love to just go back to a 9-to-5, collect my paycheck and be done for the night. But I know ultimately I wouldn't be happy with that. And there's going to be challenges, but you had challenges in the military and you overcome those, you work through them, you know, and we have a t-shirt line that we're working on right now. And one of my t-shirts is, you know, the military saying embrace the suck. And, you know, people look at me and are thinking, what the hell does that mean? But, you know, that's the thing, is we have to embrace the suck, whether we're in the military or in the business world or as an entrepreneur. There's going to be bad things that happen. We got to power through it, push through it. But, you know, the people who have served in the military are probably the best people to become entrepreneurs. I want them to believe in themselves, to start it, don't doubt themselves. And you know what? If you fail, you fail. Eric, I'm not sure you can relate. You know, all of us fail in business, or, you know, whether we're running a radio show or serving in the military or, you know, helping veterans find work. There's going to be times we fail. We have to accept those failures and move on, but just keep powering forward and eventually we'll find that success.
James, as someone who not only is a veteran yourself as the CEO of Happy Joe, but also hires veterans and military spouses, what is it that you would say they as employees bring to the table that someone else might not?
Excellent. That's a great question. I think, you know, without sounding, going back to that, you know, we're better than the civilians. We've gone through training that equips us to handle situations better than I think some of those who didn't serve. I mean, you're under stressful conditions. You go through boot camp, you're getting screened at, you've maybe gone to combat, maybe you've served overseas. I think there's a lot of leadership, a lot of hard skills, a lot of training that make us a valuable asset to any employer on the planet. I think the thing for those who are serving or who have served that want to work for a corporation is to start learning the civilian lingo, start learning how to play in the civilian community, and then not talk about your military as, you know, I was an infantryman or mass communication specialist or Ranger, SEAL, whatever, but talk about the skills that you bring to the company that's going to benefit their bottom line, that's going to help their company. And if they do that, that's going to definitely put them up ahead of the competition fighting for the jobs.
Now, we have been speaking with James Dahlman. He is the man in charge, the CEO at Happy Joe, an operation that recruits and deploys veterans and military spouses in the digital marketing industry. Now, James, if people are interested in finding out more about Happy Joe, if there are any veterans or spouses out there who are interested in getting in touch with you about the possibilities that your company offers, where can they go and what should they be looking out for when they get there?
Excellent. I would recommend that they go to happyjoe.com. That's the headquarters of all things Happy Joe. If they want to reach out to me direct, they can email me at james@happyjoe.com. They can find us at Twitter at @HappyJoeHQ. And, you know, go to the website, look around, fill out the form if you want to connect, or, you know, the information's on there, email me. I'd be happy to talk with any veteran, any spouse, give them any advice that they need, and help them to do what they want to do. And sometimes, you know, it's a matter of just coaching people. And, you know, we'll have people come to us and they want to be a web developer. And I start talking to them and I find out they have a dream or a passion to do something else. And we try to connect them with other opportunities that help them pursue that passion instead of doing something that sounds good at the time. So would love for anyone to reach out and talk shop.
You know, I could tell that there were some pretty good web development ideas over at your company when I went to the website, started scrolling down and saw the pictures actually just kind of the way your site is set up. It's a very it's a good looking site. You folks obviously know what you're doing over there. And we want to thank you so much for your time this morning, James. Really appreciate it. James Dahlman, veteran of United States Army, National Guard and Reserves, and the CEO of Happy Joe. James, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Eric. I really appreciate it. Have a great day and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, we absolutely will. This has been the morning briefing for Tuesday, September 26, 2017. And you know, all morning, I've kept wanting to say it was Wednesday. It's not yet, but it will be tomorrow. And Jake and I will be here. The American Legion is going to talk to us about funeral and cemetery benefits. You know, it's something that a lot of us might try to put off thinking about, but it's one of the few things that each and every one of us is going to have to deal with at one point or another. Yeah, sad but true. We want to thank all of our guests today. Of course, our first segment focusing on super producer Jake Hughes and his mission to quit smoking, which will be a successful mission, as were so many of the ones he undertook as a tanker, drill sergeant, and then journalist in the United States Army. Of course, Justin Brown from Hill Vets and James Dahlman, CEO of Happy Joe. That's happyjoe.com. You've been listening to The Morning Briefing. I'm Eric Dame. He's Jake Hughes. We'll see you tomorrow.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.